You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Thursday, June 15th, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway back with you. Fun show today. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
We have a AMA of sorts on the show. Some fun questions. Going to enjoy the off season. Going to speculate a little bit. We have a quick question that's... We get asked quite a bit. League format question that'll be fun to get into. Couple quick things at the top. Number one, we're pre-recording this show. So if some game-breaking news took place in the preceding days, we're getting out of town with the family, so we pre-recorded a couple episodes.
The content machine cannot stop.
No. No.
You must be content with the content,
but the news doesn't stop either. So hopefully
it is. I did a Zach Morris.
Oh, did you?
Time out.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic!
Is that why as of this recording, Hopkins and Cook don't have interest?
Yeah, nothing has happened.
Yeah, they've clearly still not signed anywhere right now.
Yeah, anything that took place in the last few days, we will cover exhaustively. Brooks will be exhausted when we get done talking about it.
That's how much we will talk.
Yeah, we will talk so much that Brooks will be absolutely
like, "Oh God, stop!
Stop talking!" He's
gonna talk the wind right out of his lungs.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
there it was.
But like I said, we have a great show today. Got a Footballers AMA. We have a giveaway. Head over to FootClanGiveaway.com if you want to win a Garrett Wilson signed jersey, which by the end of this year may be one of the hottest items around.
Will be.
Will yeah. be, according to Dynasty manager Mike Wright.
What?
That being said, even though the show is being pre-recorded by a few days, the UDK will be updated with everything instantly.
Yes, it will.
As it has been so far. Got the whole team all over that. So rankings, blurbs, all of that stuff gets updated immediately.
The UDK never goes on vacation.
No.
It's a hard worker.
I mean, other than the whole, like, during the season.
And I mean, it has an off season.
Right. It's charging up.
It's charging up. Got it.
It's like a bear. Just hibernating.
Okay. That's what they're doing? They're charging?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Legitimately.
FootClanGiveaway.com, we're looking for UDK testimonials. Those of you that have used it in the past, want to share something about it, just looking for a little selfie video about your experience, share it with us, and be entered to win a signed Garrett Wilson jersey.
Yep, and I would say do not forget the Dynasty Podcast hot episode that came out yesterday.
Yes, I love that episode.
Borg and Betts, they're talking about the AFC offseason from a Dynasty perspective. I mean, the Dynasty Pod keeps rolling. It's hot. The people are enjoying
If I'm honest, I think Kyle was kind of, he was on yesterday.
I imagine so.
Yeah, the insights were great. All right, quick question. What are your favorite alternatives to having a kicker or defense in your leagues from a lineup perspective? So is it adding a third wide receiver? Is it adding a second flex position? Do you have a preference?
I prefer extra flex options. I know a lot of leagues go with the three wide receiver over the flex. Really, if you're in a half PPR, certainly if you're in a full PPR, adding a flex, really, it's pretty similar to basically making a three wide receiver system. Because once you get, past the top 24, 36 wide receivers and running backs, then those flex positions are usually going to be filled with wide receivers in PPR formats. But it gives you just more ways to construct a roster. And personally, like, my preference is to get, I don't want kickers in my league. I don't play in leagues with kickers. I won't ask me.
Boom Boom says bye-bye to kickers.
I like playing with defenses. That's fine.
I do.
I don't think we should get rid of defenses, but my preference is to have two extra flex, and I would prefer a flex there than a defense. I mean, why not both? But
now, what about getting rid of defense just in NFL football?
They've done their best.
So, our fantasy scores will be out of control.
Yeah, they're working on it.
The competition committee at the NFL has really made some great rule changes over the last decade to ensure you can't play defense.
From what I understand, they are moving from 11 men on defense to 5. That's going to be the step one.
Okay. So safety first.
Yeah.
Right? So Baker Mayfield can have a good season.
yeah, play against half as many. I am curious if Al Borland prefers defenses in leagues, simply because I know you were haunted once upon a time by the, I guess, unpredictability of defenses in fantasy football.
Yeah, get them out of here.
Okay,
that's what I thought. I hate defenses.
I'm with you, Al.
All right.
Oh, are you on team no defense?
Deuce are strong.
Dynasty redraft, I'm good without.
Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, dynasty leagues, I usually don't like defenses in there.
No,
redraft leagues, I enjoy defense.
Now,
yeah,
Al.
Ian, yeah, go ahead.
I will, since Andy took this time to remind you of your epic collapse at the hands of, what was that, Ian Book? Was
Ian
that
Book threw a pick six on the first play of the game.
Yes.
In a game that I needed him to throw a pick six.
There were many moons ago a championship matchup between myself and Andrew Holloway where I had stashed a defense for 4 weeks looking at their championship matchup.
How'd that work out?
And there was
Chargers.
Yep,
I remember it. I remember it.
I remember it to this day. The wounds are fresh.
There was a fumble recovered for a score that put me over the top.
Whew.
So it goes both ways.
You know something interesting is that, and this will be a kind of backhanded way to get this fact into the world.
Okay.
But Jason has never lost a championship game that he's been in any league.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So when he's made the title game, he has always won. He has never had.
He's Kevin Love.
He has never had the feeling
never.
Of losing a title game, which I believe I have 6 second place finishes in our main league, which is excruciating.
I hate that you have put that out into the world.
That was important.
Because now I feel like it's all got to reverse and come back to the
karma woke up. Yeah, like, exactly. Wait a minute.
Whoa, I wasn't aware of this. I'm
it will be
deal
mentioned
some losses.
The next title game you're in will be mentioned the whole week.
Yeah.
But it'll, I mean, look.
Undefeated.
Yeah. It probably feels better than my side of
really
things.
I really enjoy winning the championships when you get there. Also, to just go backwards 2 seconds to the conversation we're having about maybe replacing defenses, your stories, Andy, your story about the Ian Book, the pick six you needed, the championship win from stashing a defense for 4 weeks, you guys just illustrated that defenses should not go away in redraft leagues.
I love them.
That right there was not just pure kicker luck and wind or not wind or whatever. You guys made informed decisions based upon things that were somewhat predictable. Obviously, there's a chunk of luck in fantasy football and in sports for the balls to bounce the right way. But, you know, that defenses can be really, really fun, and especially when you talk about playoffs, when you talk about the stretch leading up to it, the strategy of stashing and stacking defenses.
We're not stashing kickers. You're not holding a second kicker on your bench, and you're drafting kickers with your last pick. And so I don't really have anything against having kickers in your league, but the point is more like every position has a lack of predictability to a degree. Kickers has the most. And yes, there are metrics you could point to as like, okay, you want a good offense and stuff like that. But there's not a lot of time spent in your draft season. There's not every league, the best defenses get selected a few rounds ahead of the other defenses. And it's strategic as to when you go in and grab one. So regardless of what the deucers say about defenses, we like them.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're
have you been burned?
At this side of the table.
Have you been burned?
Clearly.
Brooksy?
No, I just got a taste of in Dynasty not having to.
Yeah, that's
do
nice.
And I get that, yeah. Like, it's different, but I just like not having to.
That's fine.
Yeah,
pick defenses
I
at
do,
all.
I do prefer in Dynasty leagues to not have defenses. And the difference there, you go like, whoa, what's the difference? The difference is the waiver wire aspect of defenses in redraft is what makes it fun. You're cycling through these teams. You're looking weeks out.
Bye weeks, and then you got to drop them. And
as opposed to in, you know, obviously in a dynasty league, no defense will ever be, you know, pretty much on the waivers or, you know, no playable one.
All right, Mike, clear your throat.
Okay.
It's time to go.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Ooh. Hey, Meg. Welcome in one and all to the mailbag. If you have a question for the show, you can always go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Click the submit a question button, or better yet, you can dial the voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. Kicking it off with a voicemail today.
Hey, ballers, deucers, rapscallions.
Ooh.
As it were, I just traded for Mark Andrews. And had this idea that maybe I could just flip him for Kyle Pitts plus others. Maybe now is the time. You tell me. Thanks. Love the show.
Oh, man.
I mean, clearly this is a high risk, high reward proposition.
I presume we're talking dynasty here.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
And Jason, I know last year, there was a considerable amount of discussion about doing this with Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
At least from what I recall from your champ team.
Yep.
You were trying.
I offered Kelsey and a first for Kyle Pitts, and instead.
And it was rebuked.
It was rebuked instead.
By an idiot.
That dumb dummy said, why don't you just go win another championship with Kelsey? And we're like,
would not have won a title.
Oh, no.
No, we would not have won the title if they had accepted the trade we were trying to have go through. So thank you. Thank you for our championship. But this is an interesting question, right? Kyle Pitts is 22.7 years old.
Oh, gosh.
I know. He's a baby boy. He's younger than Dalton Kincaid, I think, or one of those rookie tight ends. Mark Andrews is 27 years old, that's a 5-year gap.
Give me Mark Andrews.
But 100% Mark Andrews. 100% to me it's Mark Andrews because
it's a different equation with Kelsey in the discussion, right?
Yes.
You would probably say do it.
Yes.
If it's other than it's time to close your title window.
Kelsey's 33.7, and I know we joke about Zeus years and all that, and he looks great, and maybe he's got another year or two of dominance, but, I mean, that's insane. We're not talking about he's 11 years – he's over a decade older than Kyle Pitts. So, yeah.
That's wild. And, yeah, I mean, Kelsey, it's a different equation. I wanted to glance briefly at yeah, I mean, Andrews is under contract for a while. They just signed Lamar Jackson. His situation is stable. He is very much Lamar Jackson's guy. I wouldn't be doing – and now the plus, I mean, maybe. If you really believe in Kyle Pitts and the plus is a couple of firsts, I mean, maybe you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a deal where you can get that done. I would love to have Kyle Pitts in Dynasty. But I would love to have Mark Andrews in Dynasty. Mark Andrews is my number one Dynasty quarterback.
Tight end?
Yes, tight end. And by a pretty big stretch in my mind.
Well, I did say it was an AMA. This next question comes in from Instagram. It says nothing to do with fantasy.
That's all right.
You guys always keep it clean on the air. Who has the dirtiest mouth outside business hours?
Owl.
He's not wrong.
Borland.
There is, that is the answer. However, there is a certain place where it is more easy for any of us to be loose with the tongue, and that would be on the pickleball courts.
Yeah. It is the field of competition.
The field of competition, and when things go poorly, it's never when things go really
not
well.
A lot of,
it's not an excitement hurrah.
No, there's that too.
There's a little bit, but I mean, listen, Jason has broken like six paddles so far on the pickleball court.
Yeah, I get angry.
The most recent one was a tomahawk throw into the wall.
Yeah.
Which I had to file an insurance claim for the other day. So the pickleball court, I don't think any of us are above reproach.
Nope.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think in everyday life, it's rare.
Yeah.
Ish.
Ish.
Yeah. Yeah, keep PG-13.
But Al is the answer.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a question from YouTube. Joe wants to know, do you guys have a second team that you root for? And if so, who?
Every
P.S.
team.
Jason cannot say every team to pander to everybody.
Yeah, I pre-read that one. A second team that we root for, I don't have one personally. I have one seemingly every year. Just a team that I fall in love with and I'm rooting hard for, you know, is the Lions. It's usually the Cinderella type story, the underdog. If I had to just guess right now who my 2023 team is that I'm really rooting for, I want to see success, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. I want to see T-Law become a Hall of Famer. I want to see that transition happen. I don't want him to be a franchise quarterback. I want him to be what he was drafted to become, an all-timer.
Okay. I thought franchise quarterback was a pretty high bar.
No, I mean, when you're the 101, but you're also the, like, clear-cut, 2 years out, you know, you're waiting and tanking for Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck before him. When you're one of those, and, you know, just going back, you're hoping that you're drafting a Hall of Famer. You'd be happy with a franchise guy, for sure. But I'm just saying, like,
you're not looking for
Derek Carr, who's been a franchise quarterback for forever. You know, you're hoping you get Peyton Manning.
Agreed. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, this is...
Do you have a team?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, historically, I've kind of said the Packers, because I have family back there. But they've moved away, so I'm less loyal.
Great pick.
Which is Al Borland's team. How long did you live in Wisconsin? I was just trying to remember.
I've been there a number of times. But yeah, I've never lived there.
Can this whole episode revolve around Al Borland?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay's been there before as the number two team, so that's kind of my default answer, I guess.
I say, for me, it's the Vikings, but pretty much every year, like kind of what Jason's talking about, of he finds a team. I often like to find a team just in every division. I find it enhances my love of,
like the,
of
Saints.
The NFL.
The Saints are definitely your team in that division.
Yeah, well, it does rotate, like, from year to year. Often it's the team that is the underdog, but I see a path for, like, oh, man, they could rebuild and they could get it going this year. So just saying, hey, like you don't have to have just one team. You don't have to have lived in the place where you're like, that's where your fan base. So I'm fine with Al being a Green Bay Packer fan. And honestly, if you grow up in a town, that doesn't have to be your team. Like there's,
it doesn't have to be. I hear what you're saying, but you're wrong.
based on the fact that
birth lottery,
based on the fact that birth lottery
is absolutely true.
We are loyal Cardinal fans. That proves that yeah, you do. Yeah, you are, because they suck.
And because the lows are low and the highs are high when you've been with a team for a long time. If everybody jumps on the Golden State Warriors, like KD did, then yeah, cool. You want a title, but you're rooting for the number one team. But to your point, fantasy has changed fandom in general. Like, my son's favorite team is the Chargers. Now, it's not because of a birth lottery. It's not because of their defense. It's because he loves Austin Eckler. And so in fantasy, like, I like the Chargers a lot because I'm a big Justin Herbert fan. Jason wants to see Trevor Lawrence succeed, so Jacksonville's the team. Like, as fantasy players, we might have loyalty to a player that's won us a championship.
For sure.
And suddenly we're following their career because you love, like, Arian Foster. Like, I loved watching
movie star.
The Texans. Yeah, from draft day. Star from draft day, Arian Foster. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think that Mike's mostly right there. I think fantasy makes it really fun. Like, if you talk, we've had Austin Eckler on the show a couple of times, and, like, he understands the game. He will be going to a road stadium, and he will hear the crowd as he's walking off the field, you know, dapping him up for his performance on the field. And there are Austin Eckler fans now. There are Trevor Lawrence fans. Like, that's fun. I mean,
yeah.
It also makes it, it's what makes football so great, is because we'll all sit down and watch kind of two mediocre teams maybe mm-hmm. on a Thursday night or a Monday night. And to us, the excitement's the exact same as watching a high-tier divisional leader matchup, because we're rooting for the players we love.
Yeah, my favorite team might be Breece Hall. You know, so I hear you.
That's your favorite team. That should have been your answer. That's great. Although Atlanta is now coming into the picture.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Let's hit another voicemail.
Hey, guys. Nick in Alaska. With the amount of content in the UDK, do you have a recommended order of operations into consuming all of its content? Thanks. Love the show.
Via injection. Generally, yeah. Is you want to do
subcutaneous.
IV, subcutaneous,
or IV, either one, into the fat or straight into the veins.
Yeah, either way is fine. Licensed professional, get them involved. Al would do it himself.
So there, this is actually a really good question, because
I've seen it a lot this year, actually.
Yeah, I mean, there is a ton of content, and you go, well, gosh, where do I start? Where do I go? The rankings are obviously going to be your default for drafting, for information, for, you know, there's all the blurbs right there.
Rankings,
you can watch
cheat sheets.
You can watch individual player profile videos. So, like, if you're on the rankings and you're deciding between two players, you can click those. Right now, this time of year, I think is where you can kind of go through some of the research and analysis tabs of the UDK and you know, read up on some of the coaching changes or take a look at that type of information. I also think this is a good time of year to look at the videos as a whole. Like, you know, it's basically just more content of this show. It's like, you know, sometimes we do a lot of stats and information in those videos, and we'll get to this show that we're recording, and I think we've shared this. I think everybody knows the information that we've been talking about these players. That's really valuable information, and it takes a long time to go through all of those, you know, 100 videos. So it's like that, you know, over the next month or two, that's just a fun little toilet time.
Yeah, or even not on the toilet, anywhere you are.
Sure.
But the rankings are kind of home base, I think. You're right. And there's just a lot of resources in there. People want to know. We've tried to add some videos for a number of the sections that kind of introduce you to how to use them, but we'll continue to do that as well.
And as you get closer to your draft, we have the cheat sheet creator where you can go in and customize it, put it exactly the things you want, don't want, your scoring, all that, and get prepped day of. And then after your draft, the analyzer to see how you did.
Instagram question from Sam says, what is your favorite memory from the podcast? And I almost think we should maybe build a bit of a Mount Rushmore of memories, because it's been a while.
I've got
one that's in there for sure.
I've got one that's in there for sure. It is my favorite memory without a doubt. And this is this. I feel like there's two different questions here, because like the Mount Rushmore, this moment wouldn't be on the Mount Rushmore of like greatest show moments. But for me personally, my favorite moment was when we had our live show in Minnesota.
Right. Yep.
That was our first big on the road live show, and you know, it sold out and it was packed and it, the people were crazy, and we come out on stage and the crowd is just cheering, roaring, just more than I thought would happen. And then they just kept going and just, it didn't stop. And I'm uh-oh. Oh no. Oh no. Stop cheering. I'm going to start crying. And then, I did everything in my power to try not to, break down on stage. And, I think I did well enough.
Yeah, you got there.
Mike got a little teary there,
too. Oh, for sure. It was overwhelming. Those Minnesota people, they liked the fantasy football.
Well, and it was our first time. Like, I don't care at all now. At all. Just, I don't, you know, I expect it. You know, the Megala show, okay, you guys better bring it. No tears from me. No, that's not true.
No, that's good. I thought, like, for me, show 1000.
Oh, yeah.
When the Deucers surprised us with the on... You know, the live recording with the wives were on the show out of nowhere. We didn't know that was coming.
And the fans.
Another one would just be like this broad memory of the early days in the upstairs bedroom.
Right.
Where, you know, I don't know how many times we've told it, but like when we recorded back then, like we're in Arizona. This was one little bedroom. This was afternoon recording in Arizona where it's 120 outside. We had a window air conditioner to help. I don't know, keep us alive. But we had to turn it off for every recording because it was too loud for the recording. So every episode was also a sweating exercise.
Oh, man, yeah. We went sweat lodge. We went places.
And so...
mentally.
Yeah, so it was always... I mean, just that broad memory of like... Matt Harmon was the only guest to visit in the original studio because that was all that would fit probably. But that's a good memory from the show, the early days.
All those are fantastic. The memories of like sitting down. This is like early. I'm at my daughter's dance class, so she's in there. You know, I'm checking in, and I'm also checking the download numbers. And I'm like, guys, we got like 25 downloads this hour. It's a new record. And just watching those.
Mike used to be fastidious in updating the Slack channel with like every, it was hour over hour.
Yep, I had a document of every single hour so we could track what was going on. And Antonio Gibson Day was a really good day when I had kind of been talking about him for the entire offseason. And then the day Adrian Peterson was waived. And I was just driving into the office because I knew what was about to happen on the show. I was blasting Yellow Card. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. It was because it was like, holy crap, it's actually going to happen.
Yeah, the David Johnson song.
Yeah, that comes to mind for sure.
All right.
You winning the Millie Maker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't too bad. A lot of good moments, so that's a good question. Appreciate it.
Stay with us. We'll have more shared together.
Yeah. And
favorite memories, the ones we have not even created.
Oh, gosh. I mean, yes.
It's the friends we've made along the way.
You guys want to hold hands right now.
I was wondering if he was reading it off of a fortune cookie. Quick break, back with some more questions.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. It's no secret we get deep on football here to the point where, yeah, maybe I might lose track of a few other things, like subscriptions. I mean, do you know how many you've got right now? Probably not, but our sponsor, Rocket Money, can help. I've been a longtime user of Rocket Money. I love it. I get pop-ups all the time checking in on my finances. Things like subscriptions, like, hey, you should probably go through your subscriptions and just make sure that everything is on the up and up. And I go and I check and I review every single time. And sometimes, every once in a while, boom, there's a subscription that I forgot about that I don't use anymore. Thank you, Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/footballers. That's rocketmoney.com/footballers. rocketmoney.com/footballers.
All right. This question comes in from Keith. He says, my question is, how do you feel about Cooper Kupp's health for the upcoming season? There's we answered it in our rankings. But what's your overall thought there?
Well, I'd say thankfully we work with Matthew Betts, who is our injury guy. He is a PT, a licensed PT. If you are not following him on Twitter, you should be, and this is where someone reminds me. I think he's at the Fantasy PT. Right? But it's a tremendous follow. We're stoked to have him on the staff because, look, not a doctor, right?
That's what
I mean. Like, yeah. I can't diagnose an injury. I can just see
see
what is out. Oh, I can do that, but let's see what is out there. And Betts has let us know it was that we had the high ankle sprain in week 10. He had what is called a tightrope procedure, which has a high success rate. He will get stronger throughout the season, but he will enter training camp at 100%. So very confident.
Yeah, and there's he even does Matthew Betts an injury podcast.
Yes,
every Friday for patrons over at jointhefoot.com, our community of supporters. So just an extra resource for those of you that need that follow up from somebody that's not just speculating, somebody right. that has helped people through a variety of these injuries and knows what's in store.
Yes, studied the body.
Because it's not binary. It's not healthy, unhealthy in fantasy.
Right.
It's generally a spectrum of on their way back to health. One of the reasons why the Jets, could add Dalvin Cook or could have already by the time this show is recovering or is airing, Jason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Instagram question from Hurricane Tomas on three. Everyone say the perfect number of boneless wings to order for watching a game.
For one person, right?
This is one person.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Obviously. So on okay, three.
So hold on. So the perfect number of boneless wings for one person for one game.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as this 1, 2, 3 go.
Yeah.
All right.
You can do the count.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 10.
12. Was that two?
I went 12.
I went 10.
I went 12.
Delicious. I changed to 12. That sounds better. I'll finish my 10 and I will be so upset that you guys have two more.
I thought about going 24 because it is better to have just a few too many than a few too little, but if I order 24, I'm probably going to eat 24 buffalo boneless wings, and I'm going to have a tummy ache.
Yeah, the toilet time with the UDK will be less fun.
It's hard to concentrate on information when you're blowing a gasket. Yeah.
This is a household debate that we have all the time, by the way. Do you order more, like a lot more, to make sure you're fine, or do you try to thread the needle on the order, which my wife always tries to do? I'm always like, you can put it in the fridge.
Yeah.
You can eat it tomorrow.
You know which side of the debate I'm on.
Instagram question from Andrew 547. How do you decide which figurines make it onto the desk for every show?
Oh, that's a Brooksy question.
Yeah, Brooks, how do you decide?
Brooks is the set designer when it comes to the minifigs.
To be honest, it's pretty random. It just try to mix it up, and once in a while, if you know, I know we're going to talk about a certain player, I'll put that player out there or something.
We will constantly,
it's pretty random.
You're not giving yourself enough credit. We constantly glance over, and if it's a quarterback show, there's quarterbacks out.
Yeah, exactly. Try to have a little fun with it, but
just, you know. The attention to detail.
He knows
from
what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing over there. Full PPR dynasty question from Caleb. Chris Godwin or Jordan Addison? Full PPR dynasty league.
Oh, man.
Dynasty?
Yeah, that's Addison
for
me.
Oh, that's easy Addison and dynasty. I was a little bit conflicted in
Reaver. Just easily?
Easily. I am confident that Jordan Addison is a great wide receiver. I am confident he's going to succeed across the field from Justin Jefferson. I'm confident he is very young.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, Godwin's a great wide receiver, but I genuinely believe he's in decline.
That's what it comes down to, because of all the things that Jason's listed, like, confident that he is much younger than Chris Godwin? Yes. It scientifically is 100% correct. The other things, like, I'm pretty sure that Jordan Addison's going to be a great wide receiver. The Minnesota Vikings believe he's going to be a great wide receiver, or they don't take him in the first round. And yet, time after time after time, we see even first-round wide receivers.
Yeah, Jalen Reagor.
Jalen Reagor just absolutely
Kevin White.
Torch
Justin Blackmon.
A pick into the ground.
Corey Coleman. N'Keal Harry.
Josh Doctson. Like, the list is gigantic, because the NFL misses on players all the time. And it comes down to, I guess, if you think Chris Godwin is in decline, how old is he? 27?
27.3.
Because if he's not in decline, like, he still has many years, especially with his particular skill set of being a great route runner and having good hands. Like, that skill set can go until he's like 33 years old.
Yeah, he could be a great, like, slot PPR guy, like a Keenan like Larry Fitzgerald later career. I like Chris Godwin. He is a sure thing, whereas Jordan Addison is not a sure thing. But when you're 21.8, you're very talented, and I believe I'm going to take the rookie.
I do believe in Addison as well. Twitter question from at Servaz Alobo. What is your shower routine and the way you make the perfect peanut butter and jelly?
Hold on.
I don't do them at the same time.
Why are they connected here?
Yeah. Is this a phrase? Like, what is your shower routine for making a peanut butter and jelly? Is this a phrase I'm not familiar with?
Yeah, is there like a...
These are two questions.
So they want to know how I shower?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the routine, people want to know. I do my hair before my body.
Yeah, you go top down.
Okay.
If I wash my body...
You got
and it's
it.
Clean, and then I wash my hair. I'm just dirtying up my body again.
Wait, are you?
I
would say that you're adding more. I mean, I do that order too, but you're adding more soap to your body from your hair.
And what's in that soap that you're washing away?
I mean, I don't wash my hair straight down my body.
Yeah, that's fine, because you're about to wash your body next.
Now,
Mike, is that the order?
When I wash my hair, the hair is first. Well, it'll be shampoo. Put the conditioner in.
Then body.
Then rinse. Because you got to have the silkiest of locks. but when you, like, this is where, hey, we're in front of there's no one listening. There's just good friends.
Just
got to be honest.
Just us.
When you're washing your body, how many places of your body do you actually wash?
I'm going chest, pits.
Private area.
Private area, above the thighs. Like, that's
above
what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I clean above the thighs. How often I touch below the thighs?
That's what I said. Like, do you do your feet? Do you actually get a grease down?
I believe I'm standing in a lot of soap. I mean, that's the foundation of a shower.
I have not washed.
They're just soaking.
They're soaking.
Thank you.
I probably wash my feet. Obviously, if they're dirty or whatever. But, like, just a normal
shower.
I have washed my feet probably once in the last year.
It's pits and privates, my friends.
Yeah.
Pits and privates. That's the priorities. Everything else is just a bonus if I got extra time. If I'm in a shower, it's pits and privates, man.
That's, That's what I'm saying.
You're trying to be honest. Here.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm glad we're putting it out there because I feel like there is a lot of hidden shame of like, this is what people do, at least fellers, and you're like, oh, do I got to pretend like I thoroughly scrub Everyone's, down to my feet? You're like, no, we don't.
Since
we
we're
don't
just
do
being
it.
Candid, I would say once every couple of months for no reason at all, I will step out of the shower water and do a full body lather as though it's like a reset, like a full clean.
Okay.
Because I feel like
a detail. It's once a month.
Yeah.
I do a full detail.
Like, you don't detail every time you wash. Sometimes you just wash the car.
Just take it through the wash.
Doesn't need it. It was detailed 2 months ago.
Yeah.
But every now and then you need
every once in a while I'm just like, I'm gonna step out of the water and I feel like I need to let it soak in.
I guess since we're being honest here.
Yes. What do we got?
Oh man.
So we got? I do wash my legs every shower, but it is the laziest thing you have ever. I'm talking fresh body wash on, and I quickly reach down and just go, yep. That's it.
Just to
say check the box?
I guess I'm thinking, man, it'll do something.
It's like the gif of the security guy.
Yes. I do it. I mean, I waste some body wash on my legs every day below the knees, but it is barely done. It's all the way down
since
there.
Since we're being honest here.
Okay.
Are you loofah boys?
No.
I have no problem. I used to be a loofah.
I'm a bare hand.
Yep.
I am
bare
too.
Hand too.
Really?
I'm with Mike. Yeah. I like
got a
loofah
boy back there.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
And
that.
He says he loofahs his feet every day.
I do.
Bottoms or tops or both?
Bottoms mostly.
Interesting.
Oof. I might hit the top on the way by.
Oh, man. That is so much time you're wasting.
On the way down? So no loofahs in
no,
here.
No.
I tried to buy one of those silicone scrubbers.
The rubber.
That you know, I probably got sold on Instagram. And it was like, you know, it's supposed to not absorb bacteria like loofahs do. And it wasn't anything special.
You know, I'm
old fashioned.
Yeah,
I'm old fashioned. I always got my hands with me.
I'm old fashioned, but I use a very fancy shower gel.
Yeah.
All right, now to the much more important, obvious connection question.
We still get the peanut butter jelly.
I mean, perfect peanut butter and jelly. I feel like I'm gonna let Jason lead.
Two slices of white bread. You're gonna do peanut butter first, so that you can clean the
both sides.
Nope,
or
one side. Peanut butter on both sides, too much peanut butter. Peanut butter on one side, that way you can scrape the knife clean easier than jelly, and then you go into the jelly, you get the jelly on the other side, and then you put the jelly on top of the peanut butter.
Okay, so
you eat it jelly up?
Eat it jelly up.
So you don't go...
Hey, so is that jelly down?
The jelly side on the top.
There you go.
You don't go peanut butter on one piece of bread and then jelly on top of the peanut butter. You jelly the other
jelly
clean
the
bread.
Other clean
yeah,
bread.
Yeah, I'm in one half and then the other half, and then you make them. They make a baby.
Yep, and that baby is delicious.
Nobody likes peanut butter and jelly more than you, Jason.
I love
peanut
butter and jelly.
There's a famous story. Jason is 18 years married? 17?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Somewhere, right now, I'm 18. Yeah,
but your honeymoon was a cruise, and it's unlimited room service.
Mm-hmm.
And you would tell stories of ordering.
I would order 10, 12 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the middle of the night. I'd just say, "Bring them, bring me 12 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches."
That's
when
you fell in love with cruising,
and they would do it. And when they dropped it off, it wasn't shameful. It was like, is there anything else I can get for you? I'm like, yeah, 12 more peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Go round them up. I'm going to be here eating these. I will not leave.
Now, important question here, because to me it's foundational to the peanut butter jelly sandwich. You drink it with, you eat it with milk?
Oh, you got to go milk.
Yeah, milk is very important to peanut
butter.
Have you ever
done the dippy?
No. Oh, gross. White bread and milk.
If it's just peanut butter sandwich, I dip it 100%.
Really?
It's a great time, Mike. Give it a go.
You're fascinating.
No, I'm not.
You're a monster. All right, next
question. All right, next question.
Peanut butter and honey, vastly superior.
Peanut butter and honey is great.
It's great. Yeah.
And I won't call it superior, but I won't call it inferior.
Okay, all right. I can handle that.
And because it's important to me, we're going around the room on jelly preferences. Blackberry is my favorite.
Okay.
Can I get...
Strawbaba berry for me.
Strawberry.
Yeah.
Al?
It's grape for me.
And you get them chunks out.
No marmalade.
I want...
What are those, preserves?
No, thank you.
Give me the smoothest of the smooth.
Preserves and marmalade? Al is grape, and then the judge?
Blackberry is delicious.
Blackberry is the best.
And then rapscallion.
Apricot.
Okay, oh, what? Oh, hey,
shout out, shout out to Apricot.
Yeah, I don't know. Sure. Apricot sounds like he wants chunks in there.
Yeah, there is chunks.
You want chunks in there, don't you, Rap? You rapscallion! You rapscallion!
When going apricot, it could be nice.
I knew
the chunks are just a part of the...
On a whole wheat bread,
there's no smooth apricot jellies.
You just threw whole wheat in there.
Whole wheat? What monstrous...
Gotta get the texture.
Oh, my goodness. Holy it's white bread for peanut butter and jelly.
Make a note that we need to submit this episode for all of the awards.
Oh, right.
This is incredible stuff.
It's going to be great when some big news is broken over our vacation and they tune in to Peanut Butter Jelly Hour on the Fantasy Footballers.
Peanut Butter Pits in private.
Yeah. Show title writes itself.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's real. I'm noticing as a host of a podcast, difficult transition from the Peanut Butter Pits in private back to a fantasy-related question.
Just do it.
We are a fantasy football show.
Instagram wants to know preferred time zone to watch football in. The Borgogan's back on East Coast time, by the way.
Right.
So he gets to enjoy the, or not enjoy. I mean, he would be the one to know, though. Like, recently experiencing a whole year in Arizona.
I would prefer East Coast time. Just for sports watching. Like, I'm a late night guy. You know, a lot of times there's complaints of, you're getting to bed at midnight. The game went long. It's 12:30 and the game is still going. Like, I don't care. That's great. That's when I'm alive. But having Sunday mornings more free and, oh, my goodness, with the international games coming, doing the whole 6 a.m. wake up watch, not for this guy.
I don't want to have to stay up until 2 in the morning to watch games.
Yeah, you get
That's
to.
That's stupid.
You get It is a privilege.
Wow, Rapscallion, you're on Team East Coast?
Oh, yeah, because I can put my daughter to bed and still watch a football game. Otherwise, I don't get to enjoy it on Thursday Night Football.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, the kids do get in the way of the football.
They do.
That you do have to work around that.
And then the bigger conundrum becomes, like, my middle is massive sports fan, so dad's watching football. It's past bedtime, and it's like the fourth quarter. He's like, well, dad, why can't I just watch the rest of the game? You're like, you're making excellent points here. why can't you just watch the rest of the game? So then usually he stays up and watches the rest of the game.
Instagram question, who's the most fun player you've ever had on your fantasy rosters? The most fun player you've ever had.
Oh, man.
My answer is Todd Gurley.
Oh, the year? I guess it was like 2 years, right?
No, it was really, but it was 1 year, was the year that we bet on the bounce back. And he was, it's the cheat code moment. When you know you have a player, that every single week you put him in there, you win the week because he scores like 45 points. And he got me through the playoffs against Brooks. I see him nodding ahead of time.
Remember.
You remember.
He outscored like a third of my team, half of my team by himself.
So I'll go with that one.
Yeah,
although Tyreek was, it's up there. When Tyreek was with Mahomes during one of those breakout years, that's a fun time.
LaDainian Tomlinson was always a cheat code when you could just win. I enjoyed Jalen Hurts last year as one of my all-timers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good one.
For me, it was Antonio Brown.
Oh, yeah. I knew your answer was you were a jerk.
Because, like, not only was the production great, but just watching every game, because you know at some point in this game, a ridiculous 30, 40-yard touchdown is going to happen. And you're just sitting there waiting. It's not a – you weren't sweating with Antonio Brown. Like, oh, please, you come through. You're just like, when's it going to happen? Is it this play? Is it the next one?
Antonio Brown brought...
I asked Mike to bench him, and he never would.
Antonio Brown brought a lot of people championships.
Yes,
through
he
his
did.
Stretch run of dominance, you know, his whatever it was, 5 years, 4 years of absolute dominance, he was one of the most important fantasy assets in all of football, and we're in a keeper league, our league of record, and that entire window, the window of relevance for Antonio Brown...
Yes.
All the best players in our league, they switch teams. It doesn't matter if you're Christian McCaffrey or who. They're going to – moves happen. Not Antonio Brown. No one in our league but Mike got the taste of that
he
window.
He would not trade him. Instagram question from Like Totally Party. says got into a marital dispute over Jeremy's nickname and whether it was Al A-L or Al A-O-W-L.
Oh. Well, it was Al.
It was, yeah. It's,
for
in fact,
about
both.
2 weeks. Al Borland is what we called him. Named him after Al Borland.
It's due to his him being the manliest of men slash wearing a red flannel frequently.
He did the he came in with the buffalo plaid on, and he looked
like Al Borland.
And he can handle himself with the tools.
Yes, he can.
However, I don't know who said it, but one time they just referred to him as, it was me?
It was you, yeah.
You're welcome.
It was just a slip, and it sounded like Owl, and it stuck.
Yeah,
and
so now.
So his nickname is Owl, O-W-L, Borland.
Which is good news for their marriage, because they're both technically right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay. Whoever's the Owl wins, because there has to be a winner.
In every marriage, you want a winner
and
a loser.
Every marital dispute. Here's a pro-marriage tip.
Oh, boy.
When you have a marital dispute, make sure there is a winner and a loser at the end. It's really helpful.
Yeah, that is the best
Just
way.
Solid advice.
All right. These are some pretty good AMA questions that popped through from the Foot Clan. This one, Spencer in Richmond wants to know the best chess player in the studio. I actually know the answer.
Oh, it's
I'm just afraid to say it.
Is it Rob or?
It is Papa Josh.
Oh, he's a chess nerd?
It's possible that Rob, our CTO lead programmer, could beat him because I don't know how much chess Rob's played, but I put my money on him normally. But I know Josh has actually played a lot of chess over the years.
I was going to say, of the three of us, I know how to play chess, so I don't know if that is...
I played chess for a couple
you
years.
Okay, yeah, then not me.
Yeah.
I know how to play.
Any chess aficionados in Deucer's Alley?
And I can castle or whatever that maneuver is called.
Check out this sweet power up. Rapscallion, you play chess?
I mean, I played when I was in grade school. I was pretty good back then.
Were you in the club?
I won a championship in grade school.
Whoa. Okay. All right.
But this is fifth grade, so let's calm down. Well,
yeah, but your fifth grade chess championship would beat us. For sure.
Yeah. Well, but hold on. We already gave this guy a nickname, and we didn't know he was a chess champion.
Yeah, Bobby Fischer was on the table, man.
Oof, we may have to go back to the drawing board.
We'll see. That's impressive. Fifth grade, nonetheless. Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you can do that, you're definitely better than everybody that's ever just downloaded an app.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We need one more, Brooks. Do you want to pick one for us?
Yeah.
One more question. I know you've been filtering through a bunch of them.
Well, I know we just talked chess. Who's the best foosball player?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
I don't know if there's a good answer for that.
There isn't a great answer because there's different skill sets.
Right.
We usually play doubles. We don't play singles. So it's not like, Andy is the one that wins all the time. I am a defender, and I would say that I feel I am the best defender.
I think you probably
are. Yeah,
I think you probably
are.
I suck at offense, so... take that.
We are, and
by suck at offense, I mean I will destroy any normal person at offense.
It is ineptitude. I mean, we are like the if you were making like a created character, like we cover it all. I can play defense. I'm okay at it. Offense was my specialty, and Andy is like very good at both.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
that's
just,
true.
So.
Yeah, you are the most well-rounded. You can succeed up front and succeed in the back. Mike is more offense.
Yep.
I am more
defense.
Now
do pickleball.
Andy's the best.
It's true. It's true. Bad question. Hey, Pierce Brooks.
You got to know who you are.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving on.
Best Ball Breakdown, presented by Underdog Fantasy.
All right, best ball breakdown. Here we are again every week during the off season, digging into some insights for Underdog Fantasy, playing best ball, leading up into the season. It's been a lot of fun. I've been getting into more leagues. So I've been getting those Jason-style alerts of being on the clock almost all the time.
I did a draft with my super hip, cool Dungeons & Dragons, the Dragoneers. We did a... four person.
That's the name.
Yeah, the Dragoneers. Yeah.
Oh my
You're
God.
Doing right. That's we got a logo.
Nerd.
I mean, it's with a name like that, you could sell action figures. Yeah. That's a perfect.
We are. We're getting things. There's big plans.
No, oh, boy.
There's not. but we did a four person, just, you know, like a fast draft with four people.
Oh,
dude. I mean, everyone's team is
it wild?
Is just ridiculously loaded, but it's like it was so much fun. Of like I pulled the two spot, and it was like, okay, I'm in a four person league. I took Travis Kelce with the second pick.
Yeah, that's the right pick.
And then got the Mahomes stack with it. It was
a good time.
It was a great time.
Last week we talked about kind of our favorite last round pick in best ball. This week the question is a player that you refuse to draft at the current best ball average draft position. So no matter how many times you see that name fly across the board when you're playing best ball, which if you're new to that, that is just you do a single draft every week. The best players on your team get scored. You don't have to change the roster. So it's draft and watch.
It's draft and who's the best drafter? It's like it actually answers that question legitimately.
So who's the player you're refusing to draft at the current ADP? My answer is going to be offensive, I think.
I understand this. I do. Go ahead.
Yeah,
your answer.
Well, it's Devontae Smith. And
interesting.
He is currently going off the board at 21.4 as the wide receiver 13. So in a vacuum, I don't have a problem saying Devontae Smith is the wide receiver 13. However, I don't like the ADP because you are, and I know this year the trend is wide receivers are going earlier than they were last year. It's very clear because of this pick and this example, but you are taking Devontae Smith ahead of Derrick Henry. You're taking him ahead of Josh Jacobs. You're taking him ahead of DK Metcalf, a player I've ranked higher. So I can't see a world where me personally, I would go with Devontae Smith at that ADP.
Yeah, he is very high, but you know him and T. Higgins and Jalen Waddle, those young
power twos,
they're very highly drafted. I've got a handful of guys. Deebo Samuel is one. I've never really been a Deebo lover. He was outscored per game by Brandon Ayuk, who goes many rounds later. Right now, he's the wide receiver 17. I just don't really like taking him. But really, the ones I refuse to draft. Refuse are certain tight ends. Travis Kelce at the current 105. I'm not doing that. I'm taking Mark Andrews because I don't think there's a huge gap there, and he's two rounds later. TJ Hockenson.
Oh, yeah, you bemoan that on the show.
Oh, it's the worst. TJ Hockenson, Dalton Kincaid, those two guys are tight ends I just don't think are worth taking. They aren't going to be difference makers for what you're giving up in your opportunity cost.
And I'll say DeAndre Swift because he hurt my feelings very, very much last year.
You're working through it.
And he's being drafted as the RB21. Like the market is saying he is the most important running back for the Philadelphia Eagles. And the joke of last year, but I don't think that Swift is the most important running back. If this is the depth chart that they have moving into the season, I don't think Swift will be the number one scorer at the running back position. But the one that hurts me more is DJ Moore, who got traded to the Chicago Bears, being drafted as the wide receiver 26. It has cooled off. It has gone down. So there may be a time period here where DJ Moore ends up where you're like, okay, I'll go in because you can see it happen. But it's just the passing attempts for the Chicago Bears, the play volume at the top, I mean, they're way too low to sustain, and you would have to have a big, big play, you know, every four games or so for DJ Moore to come through with any sort of relevance at that draft price. Justin Fields always a threat to just run instead of actually throwing the ball, so even when the team is calling a pass play, your chances of getting a target are much lower than a wide receiver for any other team. DJ Moore is a fantastic player who I think his skill set is amongst the better wide receivers in the league, but his situation is so brutal this year.
Also, Bijan is the RB2 off the board right now, which is just insane.
Baby.
It's insane to me. I think that is part of that is literally just I want him on my team. I genuinely think that's part of it. It's like this is fun. All right, that was Best Ball Breakdown presented by Underdog Fantasy. Get your first deposit matched up to $100 using the code BALLERS. We will be back next week. We will recap all of the breaking news and a whole lot more. Thank you for your questions today. Early breakout, sleepers, busts, and values on the way.
Nice.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Hey there, thanks for listening to today's show. If you want a little bit more, a little bit extra, a little bit of that bonus material that I'm talking about, check out our fantasy football community at jointhefoot.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.